weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to introduce a very special guest this morning, Secretary of Agriculture for the United States of America, Ann Veneman. This is the second time we have had the privilege of having her present for the annual cattle industry meeting, and we hope it becomes an annual event. Secretary Veneman grew up on a family farm in a small community and has spent much of her career dedicated to food and agricultural issues around sound U.S. farm and food policies. Secretary Veneman brought a wealth of knowledge and experience to the USDA. Over the life of her career, Secretary Veneman has played a key role in eliminating trade barriers and expanding opportunities for American farmers and ranchers throughout new export markets. Her leadership as Secretary was tested almost immediately with the outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Europe. Secretary Veneman quickly pulled together teams of people from across the agencies and across the affected industries to act concisely and deliberately. Secretary Veneman opened her doors to NCBA and was quick to address any concerns that we raised. This past year, when cattlemen across the country were suffering from drought and Congress was unable to gather consensus on drought assistance, Secretary Veneman and her team were quick to respond with creative solutions that would help ranchers nationwide. Through the Livestock Compensation Program, Livestock Assistance Fund, and the Livestock Feed Assistance Program, U.S. livestock producers received more than $1.4 billion in assistance and millions more in emergency loan and other forms of assistance. We thank you. Her door has remained open to NCBA, and on a number of occasions, we have had a unique opportunity to meet with the Secretary. When we have asked her for leadership, she has responded, and for that, we are also thankful. As an added treat this morning, the Secretary has agreed to take a few questions from our members at the close of her remarks. Please join me this morning in a warm welcome for Secretary of Agriculture, Ann Veneman.
Thank you all very much. What a pleasure it is to be here with you today and to join your convention for the second year in a row. And thank you, Whites, for that very, very kind introduction. I really do appreciate your leadership and the leadership of all of the people that serve your NCBA organization. They have absolutely been terrific to work with, especially with those of us in Washington. I also want to acknowledge our Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment, who's here today, Mark Ray. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of our environmental programs today, and we appreciate him being with us. We also have with us Jim Little, our administrator of our Farm Service Agency, who's going to have some comments later with you this afternoon on implementation of the Farm Bill. And I would be remiss if I didn't recognize Elisa Harrison, one of the quite a few that we've been taking away from the cattle organization, but Elisa is our press secretary. We have so appreciated the leadership of Dale Moore, who worked with the cattlemen for so long, who's my chief of staff, and we recently hired Chuck Lambert, also at USDA. So thank you, cattlemen, and I keep telling Chandler that please don't be mad at me, but you really have good talent. So you ought to be proud of them, and we're sure proud of them. I also want to recognize today Carolee Hardy. Carolee, she's right there. Would you stand up? Carolee is a junior cattleman from Alabama, and she is with us today as what we call our leader of tomorrow. She's 16 years old. She's active in the junior state. She went to Yale last year for junior state for the summer. She's going this summer to Georgetown, and we hope to see you there. And she is a sixth-generation rancher. But what we try to do as we go around the country is I try to have a young person, oftentimes the FFA or a 4-H, shadow me for the event that I'm doing out in the countryside that day. It's been a remarkable program, an opportunity for a young person or two or three to get a chance to meet a cabinet secretary. And as the president says, we all need to give back to young people to create the leadership for tomorrow. And so, Carolee, thank you for being with us today. Last year, as you know, the president was your keynote speaker. I don't think I've ever been in a hall with so much excitement. And I know that he addressed you yesterday by video, which wasn't quite the same, and he didn't have his cowboy hat on. But I know he was great, because you all know what a strong supporter he is of your industry, of the cattle and beef industry, and how much he cares about American agriculture and our farmers and ranchers. So I hope that most of you, even though you may have been traveling here, had an opportunity to see him when he gave his State of the Union address on Tuesday. Didn't he do a terrific job? He gave a very powerful message at a time when our nation faces very challenging times. He focused on our international obligations and the continued fight against terrorism. But he also laid out some very important domestic goals for this year for our Congress and for our nation. He talked about strengthening our economy by creating more jobs. He talked about providing high-quality, affordable health care for all Americans and prescription drugs for seniors. He talked about creating greater energy independence while improving the environment, and about applying the compassion of America to the deepest problems in our country. All of these key priorities are an integral part of agriculture and of the rural communities in which so many people live in this country. Let's look at strengthening the economy. And the president has put forward a strong and aggressive tax package. Providing more tax relief helps every American and puts more money into the hands of families and farmers. It creates new jobs and investments throughout the country. It is estimated that 85% of farmers and ranchers, 85% of farmers and ranchers would likely benefit from the income tax reductions that the president has put forth. And the president continues to be a strong supporter of eliminating the death tax. When we talk about, and the president talked about, access to affordable health care, this is a particular challenge to so many of our rural communities. And so what the president is putting forth is very important for a rural America as well. Just yesterday, we had the opportunity to announce our new broadband program to get broadband services throughout rural America through new money that we are proposing in the budget. And we announced that program yesterday. And one of the links that we had yesterday was with a rural hospital where we had the opportunity to talk to the parents of a 3-year-old boy who was saved because of telemedicine, the ability to link rural America with high-quality doctors in the universities and medical centers of this country. So there is tremendous promise as we look to the future of some of these programs and how we can access health care for our many people in rural America. As I said, the president also talked about energy and the environment. We all know that when we talk about energy in this country, agriculture not only is a big user of energy, but it can be a big part of the solution. Finding new and innovative sources is continuing to be a part of this administration's focus. You just look at the promise and the opportunity for biofuels such as ethanol and biodiesel, and the opportunities for biomass, and even some now waste-to-energy plants that involve our livestock agriculture. So that is why the Congress needs to pass the energy bill that the President has put forward. It will help agriculture, it will help America, and it will create jobs. The President also focused on the environment, protecting our natural resources through good conservation measures and forest protection. The President wants to see his Healthy Forests Initiative passed and as quickly as possible so that we can actively manage our forests, so that we can protect our communities from the devastating threat of fire, so that we can protect habitat and protect these rich natural resources. And he's initiated a Clear Skies Initiative to ensure strong air quality through a trading system, a market-based system, which we know, because it has worked so well with acid rain, that it will work with the Clear Skies Initiative. And we want to continue to ensure strong conservation programs for working farmlands. We know that farmers are the best stewards of the land. That's why this administration has pushed so hard to get strong programs in the new farm legislation, and that's why we're pushing hard to make sure we implement these in a way that provide good new tools for producers and more resources to protect our environment. I'm especially pleased today to be able to talk about USDA's conservation programs, something that I know is close to your hearts as beef producers. It is also something that the President cares passionately about. As you have heard him say, he is a rancher. He knows the importance of taking care of the land, and he knows how important it is to promote these kinds of programs. So next week, when we unveil the President's 2004 fiscal year budget, it will include a record level $3.9 billion for conservation programs. This is an increase of $582 million above fiscal year 2003, and more than double the $1.9 billion that was available to farmers and ranchers when this administration took office just 2 years ago. Nearly $3.5 billion of the President's record-level proposal will be used for financial assistance or other direct payments to farmers, including the following programs. $2 billion for the Conservation Reserve Program, which is an increase of approximately $140 million over 2003. $850 million for the EQIP Program, which is about $255 million over fiscal year 2003 budget proposal levels. And the 2004 budget will include increases for the Wetlands Reserve Program, the Farmland Protection Program, the Grasslands Reserve Program, the Ground and Surface Water Conservation Program, the Wildlife Habitat Incentives Program. In addition, this budget will propose $19 million for the new Conservation Security Program, and we hope to have the advance notice of proposed rulemaking out on that in the next few weeks. The budget will also include $8 million for water conservation and water quality enhancements in the Klamath Basin of Oregon and California. We've got a few Oregons and California folks here. The The budget for the Farm Bill Conservation also includes $432 million for technical assistance, which is needed to fully implement many of these programs. It will be important to ensure that appropriate funding for technical assistance is provided so that the USDA can effectively work to implement all of these important programs. We look forward to working with members of Congress in this regard to reach an agreement on how to best implement the programs to help farmers and ranchers all throughout the country. Every day, we see examples of environmental stewardship being conducted by states, tribes, local communities, individual farmers and ranchers, and organizations like yours. The President's budget will help provide resources to expand on the good work that is already being done to help preserve lands. Cattlemen and women are leaders in this regard. Your commitment to developing partnerships and innovative programs to enhance natural resources is truly commendable. It is work, for example, the work with land trusts is producing real results. And I commend the NCBA for your long-standing Environmental Stewardship Award Program. This program recognizes producers who are using innovative stewardship practices to enhance the environment and at the same time contribute to profitable cattle operations. Over the 12 years of this program, the awards have recognized many innovative practices that demonstrate how we can balance environmental benefits with the economic needs of our communities. Many also recognize strong public and private collaboration in stewardship. This is a good program, and I want to congratulate all of this year's regional winners who I believe are here today and are being recognized at this meeting. Will you stand up? There we go. I know that there's going to be a national winner that's going to be announced, I think, tonight. But all of you are winners, and we want to thank you for what you're doing. The President's vision for conservation goes beyond the 2004 budget. We are now in the second year of a commitment that will increase conservation spending by $17.1 billion over 10 years, creating the largest investment in public lands conservation in history. An important part of this commitment is to place greater emphasis on working lands. The best example of this is the nearly five-year-old increase, or the nearly five-fold increase in funding for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or the EQIP. I know EQIP is of special interest to you, and that's why I'm pleased to announce today that we are releasing the proposed rule for publication in the Federal Register. The text of the proposed rule should be available on the USDA website sometime today, and Bruce Knight, our very capable chief of the NRCS, is going to be here tomorrow to provide during one of your sessions some more details on the rule itself. This new EQIP program will provide $9 billion in additional EQIP funding over 10 years. And 60% of the total EQIP funding for the first time is designated to livestock producers. Our USDA team has worked very hard to ensure that the proposed rule will provide more flexibility for our producers. For example, EQIP will no longer have priority areas or limit on the size of livestock operations that can participate. The minimum length of an EQIP contract will be decreased to 1 year, and the limit for producers who participate in EQIP will be raised to $450,000. Under the proposed rule, much of the decision-making for EQIP will happen at the local level, but it will be important that during the comment period, we receive your comments so that we can assure that the final rule that's put in place will meet the expectations that the program intends. It is also important to note that the financial support provided through EQIP will be instrumental in helping livestock producers address the requirements of the CAFO rule that just about a month ago Administrator Whitman and I jointly announced. This rule was the result of months of close cooperation between USDA and EPA staff. Administrator Whitman and I are in complete agreement that the CAFO program is one that must work with and not on livestock producers. As I stated earlier, we are also working hard to move the rulemaking process forward on both the Conservation Security Program and the Conservation Reserve Program. We expect to have more on those programs in the next few weeks. Another important tool that we administer is the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. This is a state and federal partnership that provides incentive payments to help fund water quality improvements. All of these programs that we've discussed today are helping livestock operations by providing environmentally friendly tools for producers. And they are programs that this administration is working hard not only to allocate record funding, but to put common sense regulations in place that don't pose an undue burden on producers. So I'm glad that today I could bring you news, good news from the President regarding our progress on these important programs. Now, before I conclude, I want to just touch upon a few other issues that I know are on your agenda for this meeting that you're discussing throughout the next few days. Issues such as food safety, risk management tools, farm bill implementation, trade, country of origin labeling, and homeland security are just a few of the issues that you're discussing during this meeting, and I commend you for addressing issues that are at the forefront of the industry today. Last week, we announced that the administration would seek record-level spending for food safety programs, as well as in USDA's agriculture protection systems. I was talking with Chandler Keyes earlier, and there were some innovative programs that you all are working on, and we want to work with you and all interested parties to make sure that we can reduce the risk of foodborne illness in this country and improve, continually improve, food safety systems throughout the country. When you think about it, strong food safety systems benefit everybody in the food chain. They benefit you as producers, because if people are afraid of the product, they won't buy it. And if they have confidence, it will increase the demand for what you're producing. They are a benefit to the processors, because the processors only lose with food safety scares and recalls. And if there is a potential black mark on their brand name. And obviously, they're a benefit to the consumers. So everybody wins. And we want to work with the entire food chain to ensure the strongest food safety systems we can possibly have in this country. We hear today a lot about homeland security. It's been in the top of our minds since September 11th, and certainly it's been important agriculture throughout this country. when we look at the potential threats to agriculture today, the threats particularly from terrorists, it's imperative that your industry, that the agriculture industry as a whole, and that state and federal agencies that are responsible for the programs continue to be vigilant and on guard, that we look at our vulnerabilities and we continuously improve. We have strong systems in place, and we've worked hard in this administration to strengthen our border inspection. We've doubled our workforce in the borders since we've come on board. This helps with an additional line of defense against potential diseases like foot and mouth disease. But I want to assure you that we make every effort to protect agriculture from intentional as well as unintentional threats through strong pest and disease prevention and eradication programs and through our food safety programs. This administration also understands the challenges faced by farmers and ranchers during this past year as it relates to drought and other inclement weather conditions. And as Mr. Willie said in his introduction, we've worked hard to provide some innovative tools for farmers and particularly cattle ranchers in this administration. We put forth nearly $1 billion in resources to provide payments to producers who needed immediate help. But this isn't an issue that's going to go away. Agriculture is not a risk-free business, and that's why we need to continue to work together to find tools for producers to better manage risks. I'm going to be working closely with Chairman Goodlatte, the new chair of the House Agriculture Committee, and Chairman Cochran, the new chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, on this issue. It is something they both care about, and it's something that we care about. And we want to continue to work with Congress to examine the programs and make sure that they're operating to their optimum capability. And we continue to make progress as well on the trade front. As you know, last summer, the Congress finally passed Trade Promotion Authority. And we appreciate the support of your industry in giving our trade negotiators this very important tool. We put forward a very aggressive WTO proposal in agriculture last July, one that would level the playing field and allow our producers to have more access to markets abroad. We completed the free trade agreement with Chile, and we continue to work hard on a number of bilateral issues to keep markets open for our producers. As you know, 10% of your product depends on the overseas markets. On another Farm Bill implementation issue, I can report that USDA is actively implementing the country of origin labeling provision. This hasn't been an easy task, but we are receiving input from interested parties on how best to implement this. We are moving forward on both the voluntary provision as well as the mandatory provision as required by the new Farm Bill legislation. There are so many other issues as well which I don't have time to address today, but we're working hard on so many different fronts. In doing so, we want to continue to work with your industry so that we can have not only the strongest cattle and livestock industry, but the strongest agriculture anywhere in the world. We have the best farmers and ranchers, and we want to make sure that we do everything to make sure that our agriculture is as strong as it possibly can be. So I want to thank all of you for allowing me to be with you today. I want to wish you a great convention, and may God bless all of you and this great country of ours. Thank you very much.